Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Mesilat Yesharim. We are in the first perek discussing what the words of the Ramchal say, that kol inyanei ha'olam nisyonot, all worldly matters are a nisayon. They are all challenges and opportunities. When reading those words, it may seem to be an exaggeration. Kol anyane is as literal as it sounds. That no matter what a person is involved in, every moment of life is a nisayon. The last time we spoke about the nisayon of crowning each person that we see and making them and giving them the respect of a melech, of a king, himlachta et havercha. That is truly moment to moment. Every person that we meet every single day is a nisayon. We never maybe look at it that way, but every single person that we meet, whether it's a moment, whether it's longer, each and every person is a nisayon, and the question is, how will we approach that person? What is it that we will say if that's the situation? How is it that we will look? As the Mishnah says in Perkei Avot, Heve mekabel et kol ha'adam besever panim yafot. There's something called panim yafot. Panim yafot doesn't necessarily mean a smile. It just means that it's the appropriate face for the situation that you're in, to make sure that you give over the proper facial expression to the person to make them feel either important or cared for. This is a moment-to-moment nisayon in life. It's at home. It's in business, it's in the Bet Midrash, it's in the Bet Knesset, it's in the street, it's everywhere. Kol anyane olam. Just imagine. Yeah, we have to constantly remind ourselves, because this is something that, because we're not used to looking at life this way, it easily slips away as we finish learning. But we have to constantly remind ourselves that every person we meet is a nisayon. Nisayonot, most people think, is when they have big things in life, the big meetings, the big situations. But in reality, every person that we meet is a nisayon. We have to try to ingrain into our mind this concept and truly live by it, so that we will feel the responsibility and be able to excel in this tremendous nisayon. Simultaneously, while we are here to crown others, every single one, young and old, simultaneously, there's another nisayon at the same time. So as you're crowning each person that you meet, as you're making each person the most hashuv that you can, simultaneously, you have a challenge on the opposite end. Did you imagine? You have a challenge every moment to crown every person, but you also have to be conscious that at the same time you have a nisayon with the same person, but on the flip side. What does that mean, on the flip side? The pasuk says, famous story of Yaakov Avinu, the Yaakov Avinu, while transferring his family to the other side of the river to meet up with Esav. The pasuk says, "Vayivater Yaakov levado," as he went, taking his family from side to side, and went back to get the ones who are left, and went back again. So ultimately, he was left alone. Vayivater Yaakov levado, which is really hard to understand, because if you're only going back to bring those who are left over, how would you ever be left alone? If everyone is already crossed the water, there's no reason you have to go back to be left alone. But that's what it says. That's why our rabbis say that he went back because he forgot some vessels that he wanted to go and get them to bring them back with him. Because they're bothered. How did it happen that he's by himself? Vayivater Yaakov levado, the same pasuk says, as if there's a connection. Vayeavek ish aimo ad alot ha-shahar. A man came. Chazal tell us this man is none other than the Sar, the minister of Esav. We'll call him the Satan, call him the Yetzera, whatever you want to call him. Bottom line, a spiritual force that his job is to bring down Yaakov Avinu, just like we have a Yetzera, Hashem created a spiritual force to take us down so that we can ourselves go up. If there wasn't this force to bring us down, then we wouldn't be able to choose. It would be obvious, and we would be great people without any free choice. So Hashem created a force of negativity that is within us and sometimes outside of us in order to give us the ability to rise ourselves. This power, this man, the pasuk calls it, came to wrestle with him. He came to bring him down. Obviously, there's more depth to the story, but that's what it says here.
Yes.
And the question is, what is the connection between Yaakov remaining alone and the man wrestling with him until the morning? And let's say he wasn't alone. You couldn't wrestle with him? Was that an important factor in the fact that this evil force came almost in a desperation move to go and wrestle with him? Usually, the Yetzer Hara doesn't wrestle with us. He convinces us, talks to us, like we saw by Adam and Hava. The Nahash came, he tried to convince them, don't think that it's really a problem. If you eat from it, it's really not so bad. Really, God is worried that you're going to be like him. That's why he says don't eat it. It's a good thing to eat. Usually, when the Yetzer Hara comes to us, he talks to us. He puts pictures in front of us. He puts ideas in our head. This is the way we usually fall to the evils of life. I don't know if anybody here ever had to wrestle with the Yetzer Hara. Wrestling is even though obviously I don't think it means a regular wrestling match like you're imagining.
Physically.
But whatever it is, wrestling is a lot more powerful than talking. If I try to convince someone to do something, or I wrestle them to the floor to do it, it means that the force of the evil and the force of convincing the person is at a much stronger energy. He wrestled him. He didn't just talk to him. He didn't just try to get into his mind to
seduce him. No, no. He took him and he wrestled him. Meaning, basically, he was an all-out desperation act. By us, the Yetzer Hara doesn't have to work so hard. He sees us already. He doesn't need to wrestle, doesn't need boxing gloves. Most of the time, he leaves us on our own and we're already... we self-destruct. Sometimes for great people, the Yetzer Hara has to come. Obviously, the more connected a person is, the greater a person is, the Yetzer Hara has to work that much harder. So the great people amongst us, the Yetzer Hara has to do a little more to get them to where he needs them to be. So when the Yetzer Hara has to wrestle with you, that means it's an all-out war. It's world war, desperation. Vayivater Yaakov levado, he saw him alone. Vayeavek ish imo, he went ahead and he wrestled with him till the morning, till dawn, till he couldn't anymore. And the question is, again, what does the beginning of the Pasuk have to do with the end of the Pasuk? What is the fact that he was alone seems to be an important factor in this wrestling match? That means, if we can explain it on a deeper level, it means that this desperation move of the Yetzer Hara must have come at the heels of something very dangerous for the Yetzer Hara, which means something very great about the person. That's what's dangerous to the Yetzer Hara. The greater you become, the more dangerous it is for him. So it must be that something very powerful was achieved by Yaakov Avinu, that now was the time he says, I gotta go and do something. I gotta be able to fight to cause some damage because this is getting impossible. The enemy is getting too powerful. And the question is, what was that power that the Yetzer Hara saw that he needed to go in a desperate move to fight? So actually the Midrash, bothered by this, the Midrash doesn't say all the words that I said, but clearly the Midrash is bothered by this question. And the Midrash opens our eyes to a principle of life and to teach us about the story and, more importantly, about our constant challenge in this area. Says the Midrash that the word levado, the word levado, which means literally by himself, we find it elsewhere in Tanakh, used by God himself to describe himself. The Pasuk says, in Yeshaya, Venisgav Hashem levado, that it will be in the times of the Mashiach that Hashem will be Nisgav. Nisgav means elevated, exalted, levado, by himself. Venisgav Hashem levado. So the word levado is used to describe God. Says the Midrash, quoting a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said at the end of his life, when he blessed Am Yisrael, he says, En ka'el yeshurun. Yeshurun is referring to Yisrael. He says to Am Yisrael, En Kael, there's no one like Hashem. En Od Nirvado, that's a simple meaning. En Kael Yeshurun. Yisrael, you should know, there's no one like Hashem.
But the Midrash says over here, we have to read the words a little differently. We have to read like this. En Kael. Period. There's no one like Hashem. Whether you're talking to Yeshurun or you're talking to whoever there is on the planet. En Kael, done. There's no one like Hashem. You don't have to say, oh, Yisrael, Yeshurun, there's no one like Hashem. En Kael is a mitziyut. It's a reality for all nations, for all people. A reality doesn't change based on the listener. So what are you saying? En Kael Yeshurun. You say, oh, Yisrael. You should know there's no one like Hashem. Only Yisrael has to know that. Says the Midrash. This is the way to read it. En Kael. Period. There is no one like Hashem. En Od Milevado. That's a message for all nations. There's no one besides Hashem. Oh. Says the Midrash. And now you have to ask the question that's not written in the Torah, but that's what Torah needs to say. En Kael, period. Umi Kael. But in case you're wondering, is there anyone like Hashem? Mi Kael. You just told me there's no one like Hashem. But then he says, Umi Kael. Is there anyone that has any kind of similarity to Hashem, even though obviously he can't be like him, but someone who's like, maybe even can fool the eye of a person? Is there anyone like him that could fool me, that I could look at him and say, oh, that's Hashem? Again, remember, En Kael, there's no one like Hashem. But the Pasuk is asking, Umi Kael, is there anyone out there that by looking at them, by observing them, you might actually get confused and say, oh, that's God. Is there such a thing? Or Mikael? Says the Midrash, explaining the Pasuk, yes. You know who it is? Yeshurun. Who's Yeshurun? Says the Midrash, Yisrael Saba. Not every Jew. You might learn Yeshurun means every Jew. No, not every Jew. Yeshu Israel Saba. Israel, our grandpa, Yaakov. Unbelievable. That means there was one person that even though there's no one like Hashem, but there's one person that could sway your eyes and intelligence, and you may actually think that's Hashem. Who is it? Not Abraham, not Yitzhar, not Moshe, not Aaron. Who is it? Yaakov Avinu. Now, all these people I just mentioned were great people. And certainly, if we had to vote of who is maybe like Hashem in the most real way, we would mention all these great men, all these great people. Yeah. But for some reason, the Midrash, it points to Yisrael, to Yaakov Avinu only, which is the Pasuk. Let's read it again. En Kael. Period. Umi Kael. Yeshurun. Why Yeshurun? Why Yaakov Avinu got this vote that he's the one that's closest to Hashem? Closest means most like him. So the Midrash said, I'll tell you, because Yaakov was Zocher to reach a level that Hashem has called Levado. He was able to reach a description
that God himself described about him, that he was levado, that he was by himself. That's what the word literally means. And you know who else has that description? Also, Hashem is called levado. Ah, that's what it means. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Because Yaakov became a levado, like Hashem, that's why the Yetzirah came with all the koach and all the energy to bring him down. Now, in truth, there are many ways a person could be like Hashem. A person could be Baal Hesed like Hashem. A person could be compassionate like Hashem. A person could be patient like Hashem. A person could be Emet like Hashem. We are actually commanded to follow the ways of Hashem. All the attributes of Hashem become our guidance to what we need to become. So there are many ways you could be like Hashem. But it seems from this Midrash and this Pasuk that the highest level of a person in which he could be like Hashem is this characteristic called levado, to be by yourself. What does that mean, to be by yourself? How is that even a characteristic? We would say the word by yourself is describing the reality around you, not describing you. By yourself means there's nobody around you. How does that tell us about the character of Yaakov Avinu? So levado doesn't mean that a person is by himself in the physical sense. Levado is describing a certain reality in a person's minute-to-minute life, that his decisions in every life moment is made independently. He is levado in the sense that he's free from the opinion of others. He is free from social pressure. Whatever the pressure is, he's free from that. Obviously, bad pressure he's free from. But even good pressure, he doesn't act because he has pressure. He acts because he's independently choosing to do what he needs to do in life. If he grew up in the house of people who are not tzaddikim, he becomes independent to make his own decisions despite his upbringing. That's called levado. He grew up in the house of righteous people, and he grew up in the most holy type of home and upbringing. He also needs to become levado. By the way, Yaakov Avinu grew up in the house of Yitzhak. So it's not like he found himself off the streets. He wasn't a Baal Teshuvah the way we understand a Baal Teshuvah today. He was a man that grew up in holiness and remained Olah Temimah. He was a perfect, great person. He never swayed off. So what levado? How is he levado? Levado could mean you grew up in the most beautiful home where you were guided by the greatest people. You grew up in the house of holiness. But even then, you have to become levado. Even then, you have to be independently great. You cannot just do because you were shown. You must do today because you became something. There's a certain level that a person receives from his parents, from his rabbis, from the great people around him. But then it has to become his. We can't be robotic and just follow whether you're following Chas v'Shalom the wrong things, that's obvious. Even the terrorist today, they put him in jail and have no remorse for putting a terrorist in jail. Guy killed, murdered, put him in jail without a question. But it's not fair. At the end of the day, the man, from the time he was born, he grew up in a house of terrorists. He went to a school that was taught by terrorists. This was the highest prize that he was given from birth. So what are you taking him and putting him in jail? What did he do? At the end of the day, he only followed what he was given. But that's not the way even the most simple human understands. We all understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you were raised. You have to become, and you are responsible to become, you. And you make your own decisions. And the fact that you don't make your own decisions and you just follow evil people, well, that in itself is going to be used against you. The very fact that you didn't think for yourself is also a reason to put you in jail. Not just being a terrorist is enough to put you in jail. If you tell me, well, I just follow what they told me. We tell him, that's also enough to put you away. Because to live a human life without making your own independent choices is in itself an indictment on the person. It's obvious. So if you grew up in a home that's not so connected, not so observant, not so God-fearing, for whatever the reason, whether it's their fault or not their fault, at the end of the day, Levado says you need to be your own person. You have to make your own decisions. You cannot rely on the excuse that this is where I grew up. This is what happened to me. I didn't have the right upbringing. I didn't go to the right school. I didn't have the right teachers. I didn't have the right role models. All that's excuse after excuse for people who are not living up to their potential. Levado asks of every person, stop following what you have been brought up with. Make your own decisions. Today you are smarter. Today you're more mature. Today you understand better. Today you're capable of more. On the bad, it's obvious. Even a terrorist has to think again and get out of that hinuch. But I'm telling you, even if you grew up in the home of Yitzhak Avinu, you also have to elevate to Levado. We would think the last person that needs to be Levado is Yaakov Avinu. After a grandpa like Avraham, a grandma like Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, he needs to be Levado. The best thing you can do in his life is just follow. Just follow. Just do what they told you. Don't think. Shut off your brain and just do as you were given. That's what I would have said. Maybe I would have said, and this is a big question I had on the Midrash. If you told me in Jewish history, who should deserve this wrestling match? Who should be the person that was most scary because of this Levado? Who would you have voted? Abraham. He was really Levado. The man had no father. He had no mother. He had no rabbi. He had no nothing. You talk about a person with Levado. He was Avraham HaIvri. The name Ivri, Hazal tell us, means he was a man against the whole world. He was truly Levado. And the Midrash says, Mikael Yeshurun Yaakov. What about Avraham? It should say, Mikael Avraham. What happened to Avraham? He is the paradigm of independence. He is the example of Levado in Jewish history and perhaps in all of history. And yet the Midrash doesn't point to Abraham and doesn't point to Yitzhak. It points to Yaakov. Why? Because to be independent for Yaakov is much harder than to be independent for Abraham. Because Abraham grew up in evil. He grew up in tum'ah. He grew up in idol worship. When you mature and you see the wrong and the darkness around you and you become independent from that, that's a tremendous accomplishment. Tremendous accomplishment. But there's one higher than you. The one higher than you is the guy that grew up with a grandpa like Abraham and a father like Yitzhak and Rivka and Sarah. And all the greatness, all the Kedusha, and yet you became Levado. You took all the greatness that they gave you, and you figured out to make it a part of you. You didn't just walk in their ways like a blind man. You made it yours. You took what Abraham was and made it your life. You didn't just do Hesed like Abraham. You did Hesed because you learned it from Abraham. You didn't just follow Yitzhak. You became like Yitzhak. It's a whole different way of life. Not living a life of copying. Copying doesn't make a great person. Becoming like becomes a great person. Therefore, the Midrash says, who can we point to? Who's the first Levado? The man that had Abraham, Sarah, Yitzhak, Rivka. That man that was surrounded by father and grandfather. Yitzhak at least had a grandpa that he had to deal with. He had a grandma that he had to deal with. But Yaakov Avinu was a man who was raised in full Kedusha. Full holiness all around, like the cloud of glory in his upbringing. He only saw holiness. And yet, he became Levado. Wow, that's a real accomplishment. Of course, Levado on any level is real, but this is the highest of the high. That's why the Midrash points to him as the example of Levado. Levado means that we are independent people. It means that we think for ourselves. Today's world is the example of the Yetzer Hara wrestling with us. If you wanted a generation of a Yetzer Hara that has put on desperation mode, it's our generation. And what is the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest, but I'm sure there are other biggest. The biggest Yetzer Hara, the biggest wrestling match of our time is that people don't think for themselves. The society has been created where the media thinks for people. A child grows up, he already knows what brand name he's supposed to buy. He already knows what's called success. He already knows what cereal he should be buying. He already knows what soft drink he should be drinking. And that's just the beginning. It's a society where people are no longer thinking for themselves. Where they're given success, they're given purpose by others around them. Used to be that a person had to choose what's important in life, what's not important, what's good, what's useful. But today the media has such a blitz on people's minds from an early age. That is their best consumer. The best consumer is the little child who doesn't know much and isn't able to become independently discerning of the message. He's the target. So our children are being attacked from a little young age in all arenas, on the billboards, on the telephones, on the computers, and all different ways through people wearing and advertising on their clothing the names of people. That's what people do. They wear the names of somebody on their shirt as an advertisement. The advertisement says this is what you need to have in order to be called successful.
Mike.
And on and on and on. It's literally a wrestling match that starts from birth. Poor child. The guy didn't get to think for himself. And he's being given all the important values of life, not only clothing, not only food, not only the worst of all, the worst of all is he's also given role models. He's being told already at a young age who is important to listen to. Who's the guy selling you the suit? Who's the guy selling you what's important to eat? Who's the guy? Who are the people? These are the people that you should be worshiping. These are the people that you should be looking up to. The poor kid doesn't know anything about right and wrong, but he's already being thrown into a world where the role models have already been appointed for him. They're already behind the screen. And he just sits there and watches, not realizing that some of these people are from the lowest of the low. And they became his role models because they have a few dollars in their pocket, because they shoot a basketball, because they could sing a song, because they have a ability to do things that others don't have the ability to, whatever it might be. And the poor child is there and he's given this person as his chosen role model. He sees them in magazines. He sees them getting awards. He sees people following them. He sees people buying their merchandise. People are listening to them. People are following their ways. In our generation, it is a blitz. It is a tremendous wrestling match of a society that is being taught not to think for themselves. It's not the item that I'm buying that makes it valuable like it used to be. It's what I was told is important. It's not only people, it's not only items, it's the way you travel, it's the way the places you travel to, it's what you do when you want to relax. Used to be, you want to relax, open a book, go read something, take it easy, go learn something. Today's relaxation mode, you have to have maza. Maza is just to be able to wash down all the alcohol that you're drinking. Because if you drink it straight up, you might pass out. Kol hatzalah. They have to give you a little maza so that you have the ability to hold more alcohol in your system. Where was that from? Tell me. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down and had maza on Shabbat. And he had all the bottles with all the different years and all the different hashuv things around the table. And said, okay, guys, it's Shabbat. Let's go. Let's onik Shabbat. Let's do it. You think these customs that we have in our own Bet Midrash, in our own Batei Knesiyot, you think these customs originated from a holy source? It originated from the chosen role models of the generation who basically tell society, you know what you do to have a good time? Well, you can't have a good time without drinks. You can't have a good time without alcohol. You have to get these items, even if you don't want to drink them, but they have to be on the table. You have to be hashuv. How are you hashuv in this world? Well, in the time of relaxation, Hashuv people, they have alcohol. That's what they do. Oh, you're going to make a wedding? Well, the number one item, make sure the bar is filled, because that's the most important part. That's where all the people are going to be going. You're going to a wedding. You're going to make the Hatan and Kala happy. You're going to do a mitzvah. You're going to make a foundation for a new home of a new couple. You want to eat something a little bit, enjoy it, fadal, eat, make a beracha, wash your hands, make a motzi, eat, enjoy. But that a wedding should have as one of the themes, drinking, that is unheard of. That is a wrestling match of the time. It wasn't that way even 50 years ago, 100 years ago. I'm not saying people didn't drink here and there, but it wasn't celebrated. It wasn't the thing to do. We're here to drink. You're not here to drink. But this is what is chosen for us. What could you blame a little kid? And he sits there. His parents gave him a screen. He watches it. And all he sees is when PCs, when people, when Hashuv people get together, they have a drink in their hand. That's it. Got it. They pay a lot of money to have their bottle behind the screen. And then it becomes the automatic. His brain shuts down and he becomes a robot of society. We are literally in Vayeavek Ish Emo. We are in a generation that there's a wrestling match to take away our independence. Yaakov Avinu, in his highest level of achievement, was his independence. And in that, he became like Hashem. Amazing. Hashem has so many attributes, but it seems that the most like Hashem you could be is when you make your own decisions. When you buy something, let it be your decision. Don't let that guy make the decision for you. You could learn from people. You could understand what's good, what's not good. You could check. I'm not saying you just start on your own. You have a rabbi, you ask him. He knows more than you. You have a doctor, you ask him. He knows more than you. Whatever you want to do in your life, you have to become an independent person. This is a very big nisayon of the time. And this nisayon is minute to minute. It's minute to minute. It's the way you talk, it's the way you dress, it's the way you shop, it's the way you eat, it's the way you vacation, it's the way you spend your time, it's the way you wake up, it's the way you sleep. It's where you spend your time and how you spend your time. It's how you go to a wedding. It's how you go to a bar mitzvah. It's how you spend Shabbat after tefillah. Everything and anything. Are you levado? Are you independent? Or are you just following the automatic hinuch of the days? This is a very big challenge in our days. Yes. Kol enyanei ha'olam. Nisyonot en lada. Yes, everything that goes on in your life is a nisayon. Going to buy a car is a nisayon. What? Going to buy a car? Yes, nisayon. What are you going to buy? You're going to buy a car that drives nicely, that's comfortable. You could buy a nice car, nothing wrong with that. But what are you buying it for? Are you buying it because you have a brand, or you're buying it because you want a comfortable car that you could drive? That's a decision. If you're buying it for any other reason, then you're not levado. You're a hazikes. You just follow people. When you go buy something to wear, are you looking for something respectable to put on your body? If you are, no problem. The price is not the point. Why are you shopping? What are you buying? Oh, are you buying somebody else's brand? So you are a hazikes. You are not a human, independent person. Everything and anything, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I go here? Why do I do that? Why am I so intrigued by that? What does it matter if this happened? We have no idea how much of our mind is literally been programmed and brainwashed by the society, by the people in society that have gotten together to make money on us and sell us their brands they would like for us not to think. And it's and it goes into every area of life. Levado. Levado is a moment-to-moment nisayon of a human being. Are you acting as yourself, or are you just a product of your environment? Have a wonderful day.